Hi, and welcome to my podcast. I'm Dr. John Cook. I'm so glad you joined us today as we continue our series on Systematic Theology 2. We're looking at lesson number 24 today on the doctrine of prayer. We will get into our lesson right after this. We now join in progress part 5 of 8 in our study on the doctrine of prayer. Persistence in prayer is required. Look at Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 13. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and said, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? In this passage of Scripture, we see the Lord calls on us to be persistent in our prayer life and states plainly that he is more righteous than we are, so we know that he will do good for us. Such persistence requires our asking, seeking, and knocking till we get an answer from God. We are to pray with humility. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God speaks to the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, in this verse. He tells them that he requires of them that they humble themselves and pray. He requires that they seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. Israel had been guilty of forsaking God and his word, but God was willing to forgive their sin and their land if they would come to God in God's way, the way of humility and repentance. Then in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 4, the scripture says, Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. God shows the disciples that humility was required of the disciples, and he shows it to us. In Matthew 23 and verse 12, he says, Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, brought down. He that shall humble himself shall be exalted, lifted up. Our Lord tells us as disciples that humility must be in our lives if we would have the Lord to lift us up. There is certainly a need for humility in prayer on our part, since we know that our only hope we have is to come into the presence of a holy and righteous God to come humbly. We come in his righteousness, not in ours. There's something very humbling about prayer, for it is an admittance on our part of our need for God to work in our lives, as we are beyond our ability to bring about that which is needed in our lives. This is one thing that makes our prayer life very difficult, because our flesh likes to think we are independent. We're not dependent on God. It likes to think we can handle our own problems. But God's word plainly reveals that we are a dependent people and need God to handle our problems, and that day by day. Notice that in the prayer in Matthew 6:11, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Notice it's not "give us this month," not "give us this week," not "give us this year," "give us this lifetime," but "give us this day our daily bread." We need the Savior's daily input in our lives, the Savior's daily provision in our lives. Some say we come as beggars, but we're not beggars. And that's what our flesh complains about. But rather, we are but children living in dependence on our Heavenly Father for our daily bread, just like we lived in dependence upon our earthly father for our daily bread when we were children. James chapter 4 and verse 6 tells us, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." Listen, if we want our prayers answered, we have to humble ourselves before the living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. No humility, no answers to prayer. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6 demands our humility. If we would have the Lord to exalt us in due time, then listen to what the scripture says. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Humility is needed, not pride. Forget exalting self and let God do the exalting. We need the working of God in our lives, whether we admit it or not. But we shall not see the salvation of God without humbling ourselves. We shall not see the Lord answering our prayers if we are not willing to humble ourselves before the one with whom we have to do. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. When we pray, we are to confess and judge our sins. 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Judging our sins deals with calling sin, sin, not making excuses for it, not prettying it up, not calling it mistakes. It deals with our recognizing that against whom we have sinned. Like the prodigal son, we have confessed our sins, that "I have sinned against heaven." Like David, "I have sinned against the Lord." Our sin is against heaven and against the Lord, and we have to recognize that. We have to confess it as sin against the Lord. We have to confess to the Lord our sin if we would find forgiveness for our sin. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Someone said, "Confession of sin is for what we are, not just for what we did." That is, our confession of sin is not just the confession of the act, but the confession of the filthy condition outside of the righteousness of our Savior, our filthy condition outside of the righteousness of our Savior. We find forgiveness through confession of our sins and restoration to fellowship with the Savior. Our sins are paid for. They were paid for on the cross of Calvary, and we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. 1 John 1:7 tells us that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. How thankful we should be that we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 tells us that we are washed in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to it. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Jesus, our Savior, has washed us in his blood, and we are cleansed from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness is not an open path for us to return to our sin, but it is an encouragement for us to leave our sin behind. The blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all unrighteousness, sets us free from our sins.